Yeah, well, it's I've had an interest in monarch butterflies and butterfly gardens for 20 years now, I guess. And so I just keep abreast of what's happening on some of the websites, and I was following the progress of the overwintering monarchs down in Mexico, and the word wasn't good about how the numbers were down, and then I was trying to find out when they might be leaving Mexico and passing through Texas so that I could make sure I was timing that to have some local elementary students in the garden here on outside the USDA building on Holloman. We bring in students so that they can study in the garden, and it would be nice if some of the monarchs were passing through. When that happens in the fall, the monarchs are passing the other direction from Canada down to Mexico, and we actually are able to get some of the students to catch some inner butterfly net and place a tag on the wing so they can take part in a tracking program from Monarch Watch out of Kansas University.
So is this the time the monarchs should have been coming up?
Yes, it's about that time. That's why I was checking periodically, and they should have been on their way out of Mexico now and come through College Station over the next couple of weeks. They're struggling because one of the problems is that one of the main food sources that they have to lay their eggs on, because it's the only plant that their caterpillars will be able to eat and go through the life cycle, is the milkweed. There's about 30 varieties that grow in Texas, so I was trying to talk to local places like the Producers Co-op to make sure that they could perhaps get in some milkweed variety plants for people to buy and put in the gardens so that the females would have a place to lay their eggs on.
Okay, and I think milkweed is probably not the same. I mean, when I think of a milkweed, I think of an actual weed that has kind of a milky sap and makes flowers that look sort of like dandelions, but I don't think that's the same plant you're talking about, is it?
No, it does have a milky latex sap, which makes the caterpillars unpalatable to birds and other creatures that would prey upon them. It actually makes them vomit, so they learn to avoid the caterpillar. So it's a protective mechanism, and it's a Asclepia family.
Okay.
And there's one called a Mexican milkweed, which is very attractive. And if people plant those in their gardens, the monarchs will come.
I see, and I've looked it up, and the flower, it is pretty. It's not at all the same plant that we usually call a milkweed, or at least that non-botanists call a milkweed.
Right.
Okay, well, where can we find Asclepia?
Producers Co-op in town was very helpful, and they're actually stocking it, and I know they've got them on sale at $5 a pot. So I'm encouraging people, if you don't have a garden, you can put one in a patio, in one of your pots there, or if you've got a window box, place one in a window box, and you can be part of helping save the monarchs.
Would it be a good idea to keep this plant away from other plants that we don't want the caterpillars to eat, or is this the only plant they eat at all?
That's the only plant. And you will have other caterpillars in the garden, like the Gulf fritillary. It's a little orange butterfly that likes to lay its eggs on the passion vine, Passiflora. And then other insects will pick out herbs such as dill, or cabbage loopers will eat your cabbage plant. So if you want to attract butterflies, you should expect holes to appear in leaves, and that's a good sign.
So have you seen any butterflies yet, or is it you're still waiting for them to arrive?
Still waiting for the monarchs, but we've seen sulfurs in the garden out here. There's been some pipevine swallowtails, a variety of skippers, butterflies. So it's warm enough now for various butterflies to have appeared. And I saw a giant swallowtail, which is our largest butterfly. So it's quite exciting.
Are there several reasons why this is such a crisis right now?
Yes. Well, I mean, it's a variety of factors. The main one is the loss of milkweed habitat in the croplands of the Midwest because of changing farming practices. We now have crops that corn and soybean that when the farmer goes through and sprays a herbicide, they're called Roundup Ready crops, that nothing happens to the crops, but any weeds in the between the rows will die out. And those fields used to support lots of milkweeds. So, of course, when the monarch arrives now, there's less milkweed to find to lay eggs on. They have to rely on milkweeds along the interstates or on bar ditches. And then another problem is that a lot more land that was set aside for grassland, about 25 million acres, has been returned to farmland into crops. And so what was pristine grassland that would support lots of milkweeds is now taken out of the equation since 2007, I believe.
And did any of the wildfires kind of add to this problem?
Yes, the drought, the severe dryness meant that when the monarchs came through last year, when they laid their eggs, the eggs desiccated because it was so dry, and they didn't emerge as caterpillars. Or the adults themselves, that the adults can actually feed on lots of different nectar plants. And of course, if the wildflowers are missing due to fires or drought, then that nectar source has been taken away. And so the adults don't have enough energy to complete the journey from Mexico to Canada. And that's actually a four-stage journey because they leave Mexico and arrive in Texas and will lay their eggs here, and those adults die. Into the next generation that will live about 2 to 6 weeks and make it up to Oklahoma area, they will lay their eggs and die. And then the next generation will live 2 to 6 weeks and get up to the Chicago, the Midwest, lay their eggs and die. And it's actually the fourth generation that arrives in Canada. And they actually live for 8 to 9 months because they feed like crazy in Canada to build up their fat reserves. And then they trigger their migration south this coming fall. And they will fly, the individual butterflies will actually fly 2,000 plus miles all the way from Canada through Texas, where we can catch them and tag them and release them, and then find their way to a very small area at in the mountains. The Sierra's 10,000 feet in altitude. It's, say, 5 to 6 acres, and they've never been there. So that's part of the miracle of the migration.
Now, I know that temperatures have been rising globally.
Mm-hmm.
Is that affecting their migration pattern at all?
Well, just anecdotally, they arrived very early last year, last spring, and the milkweed plants that I had in the, it's called the USDA People's Garden here on Holloman, that people are welcome to visit to get an idea of how they might encourage butterflies. The milkweed plants had not developed enough to support all the eggs and caterpillars that were appearing. So the eggs were laid, the caterpillars emerged, but then they ate the food source down to the ground, and so a lot of them starved. So that was out of sync. You know, had the plants been bigger, they would have supported a higher population of caterpillars. So one would suspect that was due to the changing climate regime.
I see. Well, and would you please tell me a little bit some of the reasons why it is so important to make sure that we do step in and try to ensure that these butterflies continue to be able to make their migration?
Well, I guess this particular one is one of the great wonders of nature. How an insect in Canada that has never been to Mexico can fly 2,000 miles and find its way to a very small, relatively small area. And life is much richer with varieties.